This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, September 29th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air on the Feast of the Archangels, Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Wednesday, we always remember that this is the traditional day dedicated to Saint Joseph, something that we always keep in mind, especially in this year of Saint Joseph. I want to check in with my colleague, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, October Respect Life Month is right around the corner, coming up this Friday. Earlier this week, Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky made a huge announcement about joining forces with EWTN and the Napa Institute. What is the latest? I think this is a really, really big deal.
Well, the Holy Father, John, talks about unity in the church, as did our Lord. And we're seeing that, working together, this great partnership announced Monday, like you said, by our own Father Rocky, between Relevant Radio, EWTN, and the Napa Institute, encouraging one and all to pray the Rosary for Life daily during the month of October. So we're teaming up and many opportunities, whether it be on Relevant Radio or EWTN, and inviting folks especially to maybe join Father Rocky evenings at 7 Central for the Rosary across America, praying for life, in particular to the legal end of abortion in America and an outpouring of support for expectant mothers. The Supreme Court getting underway with work here during the school year, as it were, expecting in December to take up that Dobbs case out of Mississippi, one that it is hoped could overturn Roe v. Wade. And so some great things potentially on the horizon for life with the help of Our Lady and your prayer efforts.
Glenn, it's so encouraging to see the two largest Catholic media organizations, Relevant Radio and EWTN, coming together along with the Napa Institute to promote life. It's so important. I believe there's no issue, no more important issue than the issue of life, because without the right to life, there's nothing else to talk about. Yesterday, it was quite exciting. Michael Warsaw, the CEO of EWTN, he was on the Drew Mariani Show to promote the Rosary for Life.
This is a critical time, and particularly as we look to all of the things that are happening, whether that's Texas or Florida or elsewhere around the country, the pending Dobbs case, so many of these issues that are about the right to life, the right of children to simply be born. This is a critical time, and I think. When this was first proposed and there was a conversation between Father Rocky from Relevant, Tim Bush at Napa, and I, we immediately got on board with this idea that together for us to be able to promote the Rosary in this particular moment, in this particular time, with all of this that is out there, when these forces, this culture of death is just raging, for us to come together and bring people together to pray the Rosary for an end to abortion and for expectant mothers, that they'll choose life. There's been perhaps no more important time in our history to pray for this intention than right now.
And that was Michael Warsaw, the CEO of EWTN. And of course, as Glenn mentioned, you can listen to Father Rocky for the Rosary across America. You can honor Our Lady with all your prayers and petitions and pray for life tonight, 7 p.m. Central, and every night of the week, and especially starting in October, to pray the Rosary for life. Glenn, there's some really good news coming out, a lot of good fruit coming out of what's going on in Texas with the abortion ban.
That's right. Getting a head start on this October effort here, starting September 1st, Texas outlawed any abortions after a baby's heartbeat could be detected. That's around the 6-week mark. And it's figured that that's been saving up to 100 to 150 babies a day, which would put it at about 2,700 or more at this rate since it got started at the beginning of the month. So good news out of Texas. Other states considering similar laws as well. We want to keep all those efforts, John, in prayer.
Absolutely. We continue to pray for a culture of life. Thanks, Glenn. And we start each hour giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, coming up shortly, we'll be joined by our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island. He'll join us on this feast of the three archangels, Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. We'll talk about the role and mission of the archangels. And career coach Bruce Lockenauer will discuss the first of 12 steps to land your dream job. And, of course, we'll take your calls. So bring another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more coming up in this jam-packed hour here on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Revelation 12, 7 through 9. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. St. Michael the Archangel and his angels battle Satan and his demons. They overpowered him and drove him away. St. Michael stands as our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. Satan has been defeated, but he's trying to exact more casualties upon the children of the kingdom of God. We must regularly, every day, invoke the holy angels, especially the archangels, in this spiritual warfare. St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us, and we always pray with great confidence to our Lord. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, today, the Catholic Church celebrates the Feast of the Archangels, Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, three angels named in sacred scripture who have been venerated throughout the history of our Catholic Church. St. Michael defends the friends of God against Satan and all the evil angels. St. Gabriel announced to our Blessed Mother Mary the mystery of the Incarnation. And St. Raphael, according to scripture, is one of the seven spirits who stands before God. He took care of Tobias on his journey, as we read in the book of Tobit. Now joining us to talk about the Feast of the Archangels is our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a relevant radio regular contributor. Good morning, Father Tyone. Great to be with you on this big feast day of the archangels.
It's a great feast day, and it's a day to really enter into and to celebrate the gift of the archangels in our lives, the life of the church. I'm so glad it's our topic for the day.
Absolutely. Now, when you think of this feast, back in the day in the traditional calendar, this was St. Michael's feast day, with St. Gabriel's being March 24th, the day before the Annunciation, and St. Raphael's being October 24th. Why do you suppose that there were some changes after the Second Vatican Council?
Well, I think the church wants to emphasize, right, there's three archangels mentioned by name in the scriptures. So we know the names and their roles. An archangel means they brought an extraordinary message. Angel means a messenger. So these, we have to remember, angels are supernatural beings without bodies. So we want to make sure sometimes, oh, he's a little angel, she's a little angel. We say that about a person, describing their goodness and maybe their holiness or cuteness, but the church is quite serious about this title. An archangel, someone who gave a message that's recorded in scripture about salvation. So I think the church, after the Vatican Council, put them together And I think certainly St. Michael and St. Gabriel, St. Michael would certainly probably have the biggest following, so to speak, be the most popular, be in vogue because his direct fight against Satan and his adversaries, the things you guys are talking about with abortion and evil trying to destroy us every day in our lives. And so St. Michael is definitely a protector of soldiers and police and people in fear of something very evil going on, certainly to defend the church in her battle against evil in the world. So I think the church has put these together, and we can see why, because of the three angels mentioned in Scripture. Again, an archangel versus a guardian angel or other angels. We know angels exist. Jesus told us. He spoke about it. History, tradition, Scripture certainly all affirm the reality of angels, and certainly these three in particular have a role in salvation history that's substantial. And so, and they continue to do that to help us. So we're grateful. I think the three of them together is helpful to us to recognize the greatness of the value of what they've accomplished for us and what they're continuing to accomplish in our devotion and calling out to them in prayer.
Now, Father Tyone, I've heard this question over the years from people wondering, why are the archangels called Saint Michael, Saint Gabriel, Saint Raphael? Why do we call these archangels saints?
Well, we know that they're in the realms of heaven, right? Angels and saints, martyrs. There's all different kinds of titles depending on the role, but we Saint Michael, Saint Gabriel, they are saints because we can invoke them. So they're among the devotion to the saints. They intercede for us. They model for us what we can do in our daily life. So they are saints because they have been. They're certainly in the presence of God in all eternity, and we invoke them just as we do the saints. So they're among the saints. They're saints and angels, and we hear that when the priest says Mass, right? So every Eucharistic prayer says the angels and saints in the prefaces of the Mass. So even the Mass reveals, theology reveals what we believe, the words we use, and the angels and saints are in the presence of God. And so that is the reason they're given that title. And again, our relationship with them is very similar, the same as the saints. We invoke them, we ask them to pray for us. So in some sense, we have the same, they are saints because we have the same relationship with them in eternal life, calling them upon us that we can be like them, but they pray for us and protect us by their prayers, bringing everything to Christ for us.
Now, you mentioned that St. Michael the Archangel probably has the largest following. He's often depicted slaying the evil one. There's statues of him with a lance going right through his heart. Can you talk about some of the different depictions over the centuries in art of St. Michael the Archangel?
No, you're right. Some of the depictions are very graphic, and they should be. Remember, you know, Adam and Eve fell. The new Adam is Christ, and Saint Michael, of course, the victory is won. He's an angel saint that stayed faithful to Jesus Christ, whereas we know Satan, an angel that fell. Right. So we think about that. He and his minions turned against Christ and remained against Christ forever, for all eternity, separated. So it's a great image. It's a graphic one, but I like it because it is showing the strength and the total defeat of evil. We've seen so many kinds of artists have tried to capture this. You know, sometimes people are attracted to epic battles of good and evils and like Star Wars or other, you know, kind of modern made-up fiction. This is real. This is the supernatural reality that we live every day. So we know evil is real, the Lord is real, his power is real, and St. Michael is one of our friends and is certainly, again, invoked in times of great fear of evil times. And again, we think of the modern days, things that are so evil going on in our world, and we could ask St. Michael to pray for us and to intercede. Certainly, he's a great protector, I think. It's funny, a lot of people in first responding professions or soldiers, people that are really in harm's way, I know many, many police officers carry St. Michael in their hats. They kind of put the prayer card in their hats or inside the fire trucks, or certainly this is all over the country, probably around the world, but a lot of people that are in danger, first responders have an image of him, usually the image you talked about of this card where you really defeat the evil one with these great tools and strength. And St. Michael always looks sure and serene. I love St. Michael. Many of the depictions in art, he's in this great battle, but he seems very calm, like he's very peaceful looking, whereas the evil one is just in great anguish and total stress, where St. Michael has a serenity about him because he's with the Lord, and I love the images of him. His face is not contorted or anything like evil. There's a great strength and confidence and even a serenity in him as he is kind of slaying the evil one down to take him down for us and in our lives.
Father Tyone, we also acknowledge St. Michael the Archangel in the traditional prayer that goes back to Pope Leo XIII in the 1800s, a prayer that used to be prayed at the end of the traditional Latin Mass, and in some places it's still prayed. I've heard it many times in just regular English Masses after Mass.
That's right. So it's something very common. Certainly a lot of people like to do it. Some people still do it even after Mass privately if it's not done publicly. Again, it's not a requirement in the church since Vatican II, but some people do it, and many people know it. So it is it's a great prayer because it says one of the things about that prayer, if you don't know it, St. Michael, it says in other words, cast down into hell all those spirits who wander throughout the world looking for the ruin of souls. That's in the present. So in other words, this isn't a cosmic supernatural battle that ended when Jesus was raised from the dead. It did end in one way, but the ramifications and its finishing and fulfillment is not over. And we know that by turning on the news or reading things or hearing about things that are going on. So St. Michael, the prayer is great. And actually, most churches have it on the back of their missalettes if you go to Mass. And there's kind of a regular missalette in church. It's usually one of the prayers on the back if you don't know it or you're not familiar with it. It's a simple place to find. It's usually in the pews at most churches, I find.
Moving on to St. Gabriel, obviously he's mentioned in the Annunciation, in the Gospel of Luke. You hear about Gabriel who stands before God.
Yeah, St. Gabriel, of course, is probably the second most widely recognized angel, always associated with coming to Mary, right, and also appears to Zechariah, the wife of Elizabeth. So we know that wonderfully. Gabriel, what does that mean, the name Gabriel? These names have meaning, right? So Gabriel means the strength of God. So the angels are named by their messengers of their role within salvation. So obviously St. Gabriel means the messenger. And what was the message? Invitation to Our Lady to be the mother of Christ. So of course, you see, St. Gabriel's probably the most, St. Michael's the most asked to intercede archangel, but St. Gabriel's definitely the most painted, I think. So we'd see the Annunciation, especially in the Middle Ages, everywhere, and you go to any religious art museum, and you're going to find St. Gabriel with the Blessed Mother in all kinds of forms, and it's magnificent the way different artists try to capture that. How do you capture a being without a body? And it's all different traditional ways people have done that, but very soothing. So St. Gabriel is really so wonderfully the inviter, the messenger. It really just powerfully that the messenger of God, and just an amazing gift that we know the name, I think, and that's the tradition, and we can ask St. Gabriel to pray for us. And I think also maybe we need to go do a visitation to someone or ask someone to do something that could be challenging or difficult news. St. Gabriel has so many different ways that he could intercede for us, so he's wonderful. And again, I encourage people to develop their devotion to him as well.
And Father Tyone, St. Michael the Archangel might be the most popular, but I'd say that the words of St. Gabriel are probably the most often used, because it's his very words in the Hail Mary prayer that is said millions of times every day in the Hail Mary, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Those are the words of the angel Gabriel.
You're right, and I'm glad you brought that up. You're absolutely right, and I know you've been encouraging people to pray the rosary the coming month, and I think a lot of people don't realize that where the rosary prayer comes from, especially the first half, but you're right, it's the words of the angel, the archangel. So what a great feast day today to kind of get underneath that and know whenever we pray those words, we're repeating the words of the angel to Our Lady. What a great, no wonder that prayer is so soothing and so consoling and hopeful for us, regardless of the evil in the world around us.
And of the three archangels, probably the one that's not known as well is Saint Raphael. I am the angel Raphael, one of the seven who stand before the Lord, it says in the book of Tobit. Talk to us a little bit about Saint Raphael and why we sometimes see him holding a fish.
Yeah, and so St. Raphael means the healing of God. So again, angel names mean what their message was. Again, a book of Tobit, important to read that. And we know that, so St. Raphael means the healing of God. We know in the book of Tobit that's what happened, right? So we ask St. Raphael to pray for us when people are ill, when there's problems in families. And I think he's sort of the least known of the three. So we need to do a little bit of work on that, I think. But he's also a patron saint of travelers and of people on a pilgrimage and according to even in the Jewish tradition, he was invoked around burial rites. So we don't really do that so much as Catholics today. But he's really the archangel of healing. So we invoke him for that.
Absolutely. Well, I think that today is a special day for us to really reflect on the archangels, all three of these powerful archangels, all mentioned in Scripture and all such an important part of our Catholic tradition. And I think we should all make a special point to at least pray the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel on this day, Father.
Do we have time to do that now, or are we finished today?
No, Father, you can lead us if you'd like.
Yeah, let's pray that. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And to thou, O Prince of Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander the world for the ruin of souls. Amen. St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, pray for us and all our virtual listeners today.
Amen. Thanks so much, Father Tyone. Really appreciate your spiritual insights on this Feast of the Archangels. Thanks again.
Blessed day.
You too. We're going to take a break and come back with much more as we continue here. Morning Air on a Wednesday, we're going to be joined by career coach Bruce Lockenauer, who's going to give us some practical advice on how to land your dream job. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
31 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, we spend the majority of our waking hours working, but how often do we stop and take the time to really think about and reflect on and manage our careers? Maybe we need to change the trajectory, or maybe we just need some advice on some tricky situations from someone who knows about careers. Today, we're going to explore the many subtleties of managing your career, including the first of 12 steps to land your dream job with Bruce Lockenauer. Bruce has spent the last 25 years working with board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their careers and talent needs. Prior to working for three of the world's premier executive search firms, Bruce worked in the investment banking world in private equity and served as CEO of a company. He also has a BA in economics from Northwestern and an MBA from Harvard and has coached countless people through successful job searches. Good morning, Bruce. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's good to be with you once again.
John, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Bruce, before we talk about some practical advice on career coaching, for those listeners that may have missed the first time that you were on our show a few weeks back, can you give us a brief summary of your background in the executive search world?
John, I think you gave me a great introduction. Thank you so much. I've been in executive search for 25 years after my stint in industry. And during that time, John, I was fortunate enough to work for three of the top executive search firms in the world. I worked in Mexico as well as in North America, and I've done searches in all corners of the world. So my network is very broad, my experience pretty deep.
Well, Bruce, a couple of weeks ago when we first got together, you reminded us that the job market has been the hottest that it's been in the last 20 years. Things can change on any given day and even in a couple of weeks. Do we have any updates? What's going on?
John, we do. There are two industry surveys that were published since we spoke last, in addition to a jaw-dropping statistic from the Labor Department. Those two industry surveys, let's start with those. One of them was one of the leading insurance companies, and they talked about 2,000 people and found that about a quarter of those people plan to do something new after the pandemic. And the key reason for that was that 48% or 38% cited that they had challenges with a work-life balance. You know, with, we talked about this a little bit in our previous session. I mean, they don't have the same connection with their colleagues because they haven't been going into the office. Let me go to the second survey. This is one of the most renowned management consulting firms. They talked to 65,000 North American employees, and they found that 40% of those were contemplating switching to another employer. John, we talked about last time there was a prediction that we're going to go into the Great Resignation, that people were going to resign and do something else. That prediction appears to be coming true. The what the management consulting firm said is that people had a collective moment of reflection about their careers and about their lives. And a major business newspaper cited it as a burnout crisis, that people were just getting burned out. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The Labor Department reported, we mentioned last time that in July there were 11 million openings and only 9 million job seekers. So there are 2 million more jobs than there are seekers. But they also came out and said nearly 4 million people left their jobs in July. That makes 16 million people who have left their jobs since April. That's 10% of the workforce, and it's the highest quit rate since they've been gathering data, which has been over the last 22 years. So there's and when people leave, John, as you know, that creates openings. So there's sort of a domino effect.
Absolutely. I mean, these numbers are unbelievable. My goodness, things really have changed just in the last couple of weeks. Why do you suppose that this is happening? Do they have any idea specifically why so many people are quitting?
Yeah, again, they point to, I think it's people being broken out of their normal routine through the quarantine and having a new reality. And some enjoy working from home and have figured out how to do it. Others have gotten burned out, but everyone has had a chance to pause and think about what they're doing and what they want to do post-pandemic. So it's, and let me make a point on change here, John, because we're talking about it. The market's so hot. And change is good. You know, they've done studies where they paint the room and productivity goes up. They paint it back to the original color and productivity goes up. When you change, it's exciting. It gets your adrenaline up and it can be fun. But you don't want to change just for the sake of change. You want to be contemplative about it. We'll talk more about that. What you want to do is make sure you're in a place where you can thrive.
Absolutely. Well, it sure sounds like now is the time more than ever to start looking into making a change if you feel like you want to make a change in your heart. The question is, how do you go about figuring out what that dream job would look like?
So let's talk about it on two dimensions. We'll talk about it on the practical, natural dimension, and then let's also throw in the supernatural dimension if we can. So you know, when you're in a position and you're enjoying your work and your environment and something changes and all of a sudden you're not enjoying it, it's obvious you need to make a change. For example, you've got a new boss who's, you know, for whatever reason, you don't get along. You've been working remotely. You're called to come back into the office. You miss being able to, you know, be home for family dinner or what have you. Your company's ownership has changed. Maybe it was family owned and now a private equity firm has come in and the culture is changing. There could be maybe you've been in a role, say 3 or 4 years, and you've kind of mastered it, and there's nowhere else to go. And or maybe you looked around or on some of the compensation websites or know a friend that was in, you know, a colleague who went to work somewhere else and got paid significantly more. So any of those things could make you think, you know, maybe I ought to look at changing. You know, same kind of role, but in a different environment, a different company. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, all these scenarios that you just described, these are realistic. I mean, these happen to people day in and day out. New bosses come in. Situations have a way of changing. You're no longer at home. You're being made to go into the office, even though you may not want to. Companies change ownership. I mean, these are real life situations.
Absolutely. And as we've underscored here, if you're in one of those situations, it's a good time to assess the market, to see what your alternatives might be. And you may learn that what you've got, even with that new boss or that new ownership structure, is still a pretty good deal. But on the other hand, as we've seen, these 16 million people since April have decided that there are greener pastures for them.
Absolutely. Now, what happens if you want to leave, you feel like now is the time, but you just have no idea. You're thinking, what am I going to do? It's not very obvious.
Yeah, those are the intriguing ones. And I think you need to look at that as a challenge, because you can have a lot of fun, I think, in exploring what's available to you out in the marketplace. And many people have discovered their dream jobs by doing so. So let's peel away at that a little bit. So if you're in a role and you're just not happy, you're stressed, you're frustrated, you're unfulfilled, to take a step back and really assess yourself professionally. So there are three categories that HR, human resources professionals, think of when they're looking to at a job. And that one is competencies. What are the skills? What are you good at? So you need to ask yourself, what are your competencies? What experience would you bring to a new opportunity? And then what's your passion? What are you passionate about? Because that's going to affect a good deal of your job satisfaction and your progression. Competencies, again, going back to those three, how do you figure out what skills you're good at? You could probably brainstorm some. It'd be helpful to look at some lists. It'd be interesting to get a job specification for the job you're in today and look at those competencies that they list and say, oh yeah, I've got those competencies. So second one is experience. In the last X number of years that you've been working, what experiences have you gained? What customer sets have you learned? What do you do really well? You're very quick programming, whatever that experience is that you would bring to the next job. And then what do you like, John? What really gets your blood flowing? What pops you out of bed in the morning and say, I can't wait to dig in? Think of the think of the professional situations where you just had a ton of fun. Came up with something. Maybe you wowed a customer, whatever that was. Think about it and think about list those, because in those environments, you'll probably have a lot of fun again.
Bruce, and we're speaking with Bruce Lockenauer, career coach. We're talking about landing your dream job by going through the first of 12 steps that Bruce recommends. And Bruce, it occurred to me, what do you think is more important, experience or passion? Do you go after something you absolutely love, or do you go after something that you have a lot of experience in?
Both, if you can, John. But I think passion. Because you may have found, as we talked about, that you wake up and it's drudgery to go back to work. That's not good. You want to be in a place, and I mentioned things that you like doing, but also environments that you like. Maybe it's a mission-oriented environment you should be considering, but I definitely think it's passions.
What about a dream company? Obviously, you can have a dream role, but as some folks dream of working for XYZ, a major corporation one day. Let's talk a little bit about dream companies.
So you're right. We've talked about how you figure out what you'd like to do. The next piece is figuring out where you'd like to do it. What kind of dream company? Where should you be doing it if where you are today is not the right place? So several dimensions to consider there, John. One is, are you happy where you are in the industry sector? Do you enjoy, if you're in the tech sector, you may want to look at competitors and see who else is out there that you look up to, that there are great companies out there. You may decide you want to change your industry sector. So if you're in an industrial sector, you may want to move into technology. We talked about mission before, maybe healthcare. Or medical technology is something that gets you very excited about helping people get better. You may want to change the size of the company and the stage. So you might be working at just one of my clients just moved from a big public company to a startup. So, John, there are lots of dimensions to consider. We can talk more about this.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a short break and continue our discussion with Bruce Lochenour. I want to invite our listeners, if you have any questions about landing your dream job or about figuring out what your dream job looks like for career coach Bruce Lochenour, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
47 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with Bruce Lochenour, career coach, joining us from Dallas, Texas, as we've begun a series of discussions on landing your dream job. And today we're taking on the first part of 12 different steps recommended to land that dream job. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, if you have a question about landing your dream job or your dream company or figuring out what a dream job even looks like for career coach Bruce Lochenour, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Bruce, welcome back. We were talking before the break about landing a dream company, and we wanted to finish up your thoughts.
Sure, you bet. We talked about different sectors and sizes and stages. The other key element, and many people don't pay attention to this, especially if it's their second job, is the company's culture. A culture is the company's values, the behaviors they reward, the way people behave. And it's very important to understand what that culture is and how you would fit with that culture. You can figure the best way to figure that out is to talk to people who've worked there, especially people who have recently left the company. They'll be very candid, and people at the company can be candid too. And with LinkedIn and other technologies, you can find people that are just a connection or two away from you and talk to them. In addition, you want to do a ton of research. There are sites out there that have employee satisfaction data that where you can research the companies inside and out. By the way, John, you want to be as knowledgeable as you can about any company you're going to talk to and the sector, because people want people that want them. So knowing it's a good fit, understanding the company, the industry, being enthusiastic about it, all that will help. And just a quick note, this is for a small population of our listeners, but you want to make sure that when you joined a company, you didn't sign anything that would prohibit you from joining a competitor or something else. So you just take a look and make sure there are no non-compete, non-solicitation, or other clauses.
And I know that you bring a spiritual perspective to landing that dream job. Can you talk about the importance of including the Lord in your search?
You bet. So we talked last time about taking this to prayer, meaning going in, sitting down in front of the Blessed Sacrament and saying, well, my favorite aspiration is, Lord, that I may see. We also talked, John, about going to St. Joseph in this year of St. Joseph. And I shared the anecdote about my wife where she wrote a note, put it under St. Joseph. We started to pray to him and zingo, she had something. In fact, I got an email after our last show with somebody else who had a similar experience. The other thing I want to talk about, though, is let's say you go through this process and you kind of scan the market, you find out your comp's okay, your compensation's okay, you're happy with your position, there's nothing else out there that's intriguing. You know, what can you do, John, to take your current job to the next level? Well, if you're not already doing it, there is an opportunity to raise your work to a supernatural level. You know, as we know in Vatican II, there was a universal call to holiness. So it's not just the priests and the religious and that are asked to be saints and be holy, but we all are called to holiness. So how do you do that in the work environment? Well, you can do that by sanctifying your work. What does that mean? Very simple. You know, just take an hour of work, maybe put a crucifix on your desk and say, I'm going to offer this hour for this intention, for this person who doesn't have work right now, or for this person who's struggling with COVID or whatever the situation is, and do it well. And at the, maybe at the beginning of the end, you say a Hail Mary, and you've transformed that hour of work, and you do it well, obviously, you're offering it to God. You transform that hour of work into prayer. And that's, you think, well, I'm doing okay, this is fine. Well, it's a slippery slope. So let's see how you can raise your game. And I guarantee you're going to raise your game both on the natural and the supernatural level if you seek to sanctify it.
Without a doubt. I'm with you 100%. You can't go wrong. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter the industry. If you do it for the Lord, you're on the right track. We do have a few callers that would like to be part of the conversation. Bruce, Chelsea is with us from Appleton, Wisconsin. Chelsea, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Bruce Lockenauer.
Hi there, Bruce.
Good morning.
This is a really hard topic because it's almost like providential that I turned on the radio this morning, but I'm like sitting in my car and feeling a lot of anxiety about my work. I work in a really small company and we've lost, like you said, burnout and turnover is real and I'm feeling it. And I feel like I want to get out too, but, I don't want to abandon the team, and so I don't know where to go. What to do?
I'm sorry to hear that, Chelsea. And you're right. You're not alone. A lot of people are feeling burned out. They're burning the candle at both ends. I'm thrilled to hear about the loyalty that you have with your team that you're working with. The good news that we have to share is that there are options for you. I would suggest two things. One, we just talked about prayer. Let's pray that situation changes because God can do miracles and things can change. At the same time, we want to do everything supernaturally possible, but also everything on the human level. And I would encourage you, as I mentioned, I don't advocate changing jobs just to change jobs, but life is too short to be miserable. And my heart goes out to you. The good news is we're not in a recession. We're in the great resignation, meaning there's the greatest opportunity for finding a better environment. And maybe some of those folks that are your colleagues would come along with you.
Yeah, I just, I would hate to leave them with even more work because we've lost two people within the past couple of months. And I don't want to leave them with even more work, if that makes sense. I don't know when is that right time to leave. Like I'm starting to look, but at other jobs, but there's almost this guilt, I think. And that's a real feeling that a lot of, I think, coworkers feel too. They don't want to leave.
Sure. No, I understand. And loyalty is wonderful. What I would encourage you to do is to look and see what the options are and maybe share those with your colleagues. Is let them know, gee whiz, if things don't improve here, you could also look for other options.
Chelsea, I hope that helps. We're with you. We're going to pray for your situation. And hopefully the advice you just received will be of some help. Thanks so much for calling us.
Yes, thank you so much for your advice. I appreciate it.
Many blessings to you. Bruce, for the folks that may have joined us a little bit late, and maybe they haven't heard about what's going on here just in the last few weeks, if you can give us a little recap on the numbers and the surveys that have been happening that are showing that there's a lot of opportunity going on right now.
You bet. The two, I'll just cite the Labor Department statistics again, which in the history of them tracking people who have left their jobs, they've been doing that for 22 years, never has it been as high as it has in the last 4 months. There are 16 million people who have decided to do what Chelsea was thinking of doing, which is looking and indeed pulling the trigger on doing something else. The other data that we talked about last time, John, is remarkable in that there are 11 million openings, and that's the most recent data, which is back in July, and only 9 million people that are interested in working, that are looking, actively looking, or possibly interested in finding work. So you've got 2 million more jobs, and there are people that are interested or qualified or looking for jobs. So it is a great time that if you do find yourself in a difficult situation to explore alternatives. And hopefully the employers, though, And they are recognizing this, John. I mean, employers are, hopefully a Chelsea Small Company will recognize this as well, but employers are making sure their people are happy, seeing what they need to do to retain them, and they're having to offer attractive packages to bring in new employees.
Bruce, you gave us a lot of practical advice, a final word to someone who's listening, and your words are resonating.
Yeah, so this is a great time to explore. And as you explore, seek advice from people who know you as you go on this journey. And most importantly, you know, our Lord, who knows us very, very well. Don't forget to stop and pray and ask for guidance in what you should be doing on the job front. And it may be that, again, right where you are, by raising your game supernaturally, you can enjoy it, just increase your satisfaction and your supernatural outlook.
I think that supernatural perspective is so important to anybody who's listening to us. If they're listening to Morning Air and Relevant Radio, then they have a spiritual perspective. So very important to discern prayerfully what you're seeking and exactly why you're seeking it. Appreciate your insight so much. Looking forward to continuing our discussion on 12 steps to landing your dream job. Bruce, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.
Bruce Lockenauer, career coach and executive search expert. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Choose Your Words Carefully by Frank Friedel and Hugh Seide. President Calvin Coolidge was famously known as a man of few words. His nickname was Silent Cal. His wife, Grace Goodhue Coolidge, told the story of a young woman who sat next to her husband at a dinner party. She told Coolidge she had a bet with a friend that she could get at least 3 words of conversation from him. Without looking at her, he quietly retorted, "You lose." Coolidge understood very well the value of using only carefully considered words, and those being few in number. In a time when people reveal their most personal information in the most public ways, without thought or hesitation, it's important for us to recapture this piece of wisdom. Truly wise believers do not feel the need to tell everything they know to everyone they meet, much less total strangers. Instead, they choose their words with care, recognizing the responsibility that comes with our speech. As we learn in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, the Lord telling us, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will render an account for every careless word they speak. By your words, you'll be acquitted, and by your words, you'll be condemned."
Thanks so much, Glenn. I want to remind you that you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or the Morning Air podcasts or any segment that you want to share with others. All you have to do is download it at the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. If you have a story idea, you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Also want to remind you to honor Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, pray for life. Join Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app or on your smart TV. That'll do it on this edition of Morning Air for Glenn Leverins, Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, our entire Morning Air team. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.